Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. I had a nightmare. You guys, it's Please Advise, episode 141. I'm Malls.
You sounded like
a Kardashian.
Kardashian for a second.
I am one. I had a nightmare last night. And, like, we're starting a half an hour late because... So I went to bed a little bit too early. I was like, you know what I need? You know what I need right now to free my soul? A nice rewatch of that Slender Man documentary. I'm going to take my sleeping pills. It's like 7 p.m. I have a new project that I'm working on, and I like put in place an accountability buddy who's a friend of mine who is a producer, and he's always wanted to write more, and I'm a writer with no self-esteem, and so I always like start beating myself up before I can get anything done. And so we were kind of just like lamenting, you know, we've known each other for a really long time, and I was like, dude, what if we do like accountability buddies? Because like if I'm good at one thing, it's like following a schedule, like, oh, you have to turn this in today. So I got my accountability buddy project done. So I'm like going home. I went to Buffalo Wild Wings. I got my hair dyed 2 shades darker. I finished up my hair dyeing. I have new clip-in extensions, you guys, that are sister wife in length that I have to have cut. They're so long and crazy, but I have to sew more extensions to them before I get them cut. It's a long story. Anyway. So I go to Buffalo Wild Wings, pass out at home with, which is like, by the way, I wasn't drunk. I fucked up. I took my sleeping meds in stages. So I take one that's technically an antipsychotic, but when interacting with my antidepressant, it just turns into like a mild sleep med. And then a muscle relaxer I have to take every night for my sciatica. And then sometimes I'll take like half a Klonopin if like my anxiety is bad that week. So I took the muscle relaxer because that kicks in first and or kicks in last. And I was going to take it's called Seroquel, which I'm always afraid to say because I know that it's also used like it's like saying I'm on lithium. Like it sounds like it's like my doctor's afraid to give me the real diagnosis. But I know plenty of people that sleep with this stuff. So anyway, I take it and then I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I watch like 7 episodes of Law and Order SVU. And then all of a sudden it's wait, Donk, what is
Stabler it? Or no Stabler?
Oh, no, I only Stabler. Okay. Like, so that means I had to buy the season because they pulled all the Stabler seasons from the internet. And I wasn't about to go downstairs and fire stick it at 2 a.m. Like, at that point, I might as well have just started my laundry. But I was thinking, you know what? Old Molly would have started her laundry at 2 a.m. You'd be up till 7. You'd be at Please Advise, like, no, with no sleep. So anyway, I wind up not falling asleep till 7, but my body's relaxed. I'm thinking that counts for something. And then at 11:30 this morning, my alarm was set for, I guess, 10. I guess I was going to try and do like a load before my guest got here. Knock at the door. As always, it's Christina Lopez ready to start Please Advise. Now, I'm being shaken awake from a nightmare in which I have murdered someone, allegedly. I'm being falsely accused of a murder, which is like up there for me on like a list of short fears, as we all know. And because I don't have faith in our justice system. And and I like literally had to tell Christina to leave me alone for like a half an hour because I just needed to like collect myself. I was so sad. And then I had to text my guest who I've known for a really fucking long time. And it's crazy that he hasn't been on the show. But you know what? I've been looking back on it since Stevie passed. My friend, you guys know Stevie Ryan passed. I can't stop thinking about what a fucking wasted opportunity it would. We could have had Stevie on this podcast. And I don't think today's guest is going to die. I just think that I just when I look back over all my things, I'm like, oh, fuck, you got to invite your friends on your podcast because in case you guys never get to talk again, at least you have this recorded memory of that time you guys rocked out with your cocks out. So today's guest is someone I've known for a very long time. And I was about to say to Christina Lopez, the best news today is that we don't have to take a picture after this because I was looking through Facebook the other night, and there are so many photos and of so many ridiculous natures and kinds of me and this person, including the day we met, which is at a yard sale I had with my friend Alexis Hyde when I was 24 so I could pay my rent. Didn't make my rent that month, but I did sell most of my belongings. Duncan Ferguson is here, you guys. Welcome to the show, Duncan Ferguson, episode 141. What's up?
Thank you so much, Molly. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. Are you going to get 141 tattooed on you?
I think I have to, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal. So you were very cute. Like when you said you were coming to the show, you wanted to know, you're like, are there any cultural things I should read up on? Which, like, by the way, I'm doing like some politics podcasts next week, which I told them, I'm like, dude, like, the second I read something, it's already out of date. I'm like, I cannot keep up with the news. And I'm very, I mean, I have to watch a lot of reality TV for my podcasts. And so, and honestly, the state of the nation, I mean, what am I going to do at this point? You know what I mean? I do retweets. I donate to ACLU. I do my things. I do retweets. I do plenty of passive online activism. Okay. What more can I do? I'm just kidding, you guys. I know there's a lot more I could do. But anyway, so I have to go talk about politics. If this was a podcast where we talked about things that mattered, it would be...
Sometimes we do.
We would be a totally different vibe. So, Duncan, you didn't have to do anything today except bring yourself, but I love that you wanted to be that prepared.
Thank you. I don't want to let the fans down. this is my first podcast.
Yeah.
So as I said in text earlier, you're taking my podcast V card.
Love it.
I feel fragile. I feel emotional, and I'm ready for the roller coaster.
Well, I will tell you something: is that Molly Maclear has opened up the podcasting floodgates for many a person that's been their first virginity. Jackie Johnson, now thriving in the medium. I was the first person who asked her to be on a pod. This could be the beginning of something huge for you.
Well, let's hope so.
Let's also talk about, so there's something that's in my garage right now or my driveway right now that's the beginning of something huge for you. We've known each other for many years. You've always been like a Mark Twain character in some senses where
I actually like that.
I'll take that for you.
Duncan's just like, you know, he's whitewashing fences and like, you know, scraping by and like, you know, but like, Duncan's also like an attractive white man. Like there's just a lot there's a lot going on here for Duncan. So
you should put that on your business card.
Attractive white man, yeah. With a lot going on over here. Actually would be a pretty
good. It's funny, but like every time I talk to my dad, he kind of says something in line with that. He's not necessarily the white part, but he's like, you know, Dunk, you're 6'2", you're a good looking guy, like the world's your oyster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe not now, actually. The oyster might be turning for the white man when I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it
does. I thought you meant like an age thing. I was like, oh, he's
not that old. No. I just like mean white for. Dudes, yeah. No, this isn't exactly the white man's heyday anymore. I mean, yeah, that's coming to a close. But you're fine with that. I know you. This is not, you know, we're going to get off the mic and you're going to be like, man, it's been really tough for me these days.
We had a pretty long run, so.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Pretty long run. Well, we're here in Glendale, where we met many years ago. We're here all the time together. But I want to talk about what's in my driveway right now. Tell, please advise Nation what you were doing.
I recently purchased a 1986 Volkswagen Vanagon with 25,000 original miles. And
fabulous.
Plan on driving all around Northern California for the next 2 months, parking by streams and generally like kicking back with my feet up, a frosty bud in my hand, and Led Zeppelin 3 pumping through the speaker system.
Now, here's my question for you. Are you in a position where, let's say, like you're driving, right? And you have some tasty brews in the back and like you have an empty can or something like that. And you're not drunk, but they pull you over and they spot an empty can and they do a search or something. Like, how do you negotiate that? Also, do you know that you're not supposed to sleep with your keys in the ignition if you're drunk? Okay, good. What are we going to do?
So I think the biggest thing is, like, you just can't have empties in the car.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, I'm not trying to
insinuate
that I'm just going to be crushing beers while I'm, like, driving the California interstate system.
No, but as you said that my anal routine, I am the most anal person on the planet. So my first thought would be like, how am I going to do this without getting arrested?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing with, like, living and driving in a van for any period of time is that, generally speaking, most people want you to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Nobody wants you to plant roots outside of their attractive two-bedroom bungalow.
No.
Which I completely understand.
Which is crazy, too, because people would think that in L.A., like, we don't deal with that. But, like, Silver Lake Reservoir, which is Silver Lake, is, I'm sure you know that, it's, like, many years ago, it was a cool place to put in a movie. Now it's a cliche. Like, it's the hipster neighborhood in L.A. And so there's these, like, vans and campers parked all around it. And it's like, yo, you're getting free rent in Silver Lake. Like, those people are very – I mean, if they're anything like me, I could live very happily in a van. I don't need any more space than that. Look what I do with more space than that. I live in a closet.
Well, we live in the tiny house revolution.
Yeah.
You know? So at the very least, it's given me the opportunity to throw out a bunch of useless shit in my closets.
You know, it'd be tight, Dunk.
What?
You know how you want to do, like, house stuff with me?
Yeah.
So my cousin, my crazy-ass cousin Liz wants to move out here and be an art teacher, which is, she has all the degrees. It doesn't sound as convoluted as I made it just sound, but she wants to live in a tiny house in my backyard. But what if I just put one back there and start Airbnb-ing that shit out?
So it's not a bad idea. My mom is actually looking into doing something exactly like that.
Yeah.
She lives in Northern Virginia in the oldest continuously lived in house in our county. It was built in 1732.
Yeah.
So it's older than the country. But Judy's, you know, I mean, God bless her
Did
soul.
Did your parents get divorced?
Yeah.
That's recent.
1996. Oh. But amicable. They continue to work together.
Yeah. So can we also add that your parents do one of the strangest things I've ever heard, but it makes total sense because someone has to do it. Or maybe, I don't know if they do this still, but your parents made bookmarks with historical facts on them?
They had a line of greeting cards and bookmarks that had festive caricatures of America's greatest authors, artists, and musicians.
That's wild.
The problem was they decided to start that business right as, like, brick and mortar bookstores were going tits up.
Right.
So essentially they sunk a lot of their savings into it. And then now there's just like 7,000 bookmarks in a storage unit in Northern Virginia.
Well, if anyone out there is interested in bookmarks en masse,
I got a good deal for
you. Duncan's got a great deal for you. But yeah, it makes total sense, man. Like, every time, I mean, I grew up in Lexington, Mass, a historical city. I always wonder, where does this shit come from? Like, anytime you go to a historical museum, like, who makes this shit? Duncan's parents.
I also remember the reason I was bringing that up, though, is because Judy is going to build a small, like, what they call a grandma cottage behind her house.
Oh, yeah.
Because now Northern Virginia is, like, it's called, like, the Napa Valley of the East Coast because it's got a lot of different wineries, including one that's right next to her. So she's going to rent out the main house for, like, people that want to come breathe in the, like, autumn air and see the leaves turn while sipping a nice glass of Pinot. And then she'll just go into the grandma cottage while they're in there.
So is a grandma cottage like a freestanding mother-in-law suite?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I
then
love that.
There will be like an above ground walkway to connect the two structures, which I guess is how you get around like zoning issues.
Yeah.
But as a result, this will allow her to stay in like her lovely little home, but still turn a little bit of profit on the side.
You gotta have that income coming in. You know, you've always been really good about that. You've always been very creative with this stuff. I am terrible with money. Another question, I need to be better with it. As you see, I probably have $7,000 worth of clothes sitting in my closet that at one point in retail I paid all that money for it, and I need to take it to Crossroads, and it's just been sitting there. Probably things I can't sell anymore because the summer months have passed. Maybe I should just hold on to them and sell them next winter. Anyway, listen, you guys. So, I was also wondering if my massage therapist, Sean Bartholomew, says he knows how to do this, and it's legal in this state. If I went and got like some seeds at the weed store, would we, you know how to grow weed in my backyard?
I could certainly give it a shot. I've done it on a couple of occasions.
Right.
It really depends on like the amount of sun that you're going to get.
Okay.
As it's crossing over.
You need a lot or a little, right amount.
Kind of, yeah, kind of like the right amount, but it's good if you can get some of like, if it has exposure to like that high noon sun, that's when it's going to get the most like,
juicy.
Yeah. The most, what is
dank?
What's the, hold on guys, real quick. What it, a phosphorescent? No. What word am I looking? God damn it. We learned this in science class. Like when
for
plants.
How they absorb.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So oh, photosynthesis?
P, photosynthesis. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, girl. I can't believe I got that. Shit. I know science.
But the big thing though, I think that's true about weed is like it just kind of does better outdoors than when you try to do it indoors because that's its home, you know?
I mean, look at this bitch out here. It's lush as fuck.
Yeah, it's very verdant. I think you'd have a good run of it.
And I just don't, like, I haven't gotten my card. I feel like I could just grow it faster than the odds are that Ed and I are going to get our shit together. Because here's the thing. I could go get it on my own, but Ed and I have established that we go and get our weed cards together.
Makes sense.
So I should actually explain this logic to him so that I'm not setting him up for a failure. So I like now know I could just go do it on any day of the week. I have the time that I could work it out in my schedule, but I'm like, no, Ed and I do this together. And if I set a precedent where I go without him, then come next year, Ed could fuck old Malls over and then we can't go together because he's like, well, we went alone last year. So I have just been holding out, waiting for the day that Ed and I get our shit together. To go, and I'm like, maybe I could just grow weed instead. They sell seeds at the store.
Probably, right?
They do. Yeah, okay. They sell them. And like, if you go to the right places, they got like clones. Like they're already like growing a little bit. I mean, we're living in crazy times, you guys. Like when I was growing up, you'd get arrested for a dime bag. Like if you had like a gram, like you would go to jail.
I think the East Coast is a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, we should just point out that like we live in the greatest state in the nation where, yeah. You know, yeah. As far as like, well, I guess Colorado.
Duncan saw my face. I was like.
The point being, there's unfortunately a lot of people out there who's still getting like. A lot of prison time for dime bags.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
my thoughts are with you.
Yeah.
Fulton,
Fulton County Jail out in Atlanta. So was on 60 Days In this year. A lot of shit like that going on. So I want to show you something kind of fun. You remember my grandfather was an author, right?
I do.
So sometimes I like, you know, if I am feeling sentimental, that's him right there. Sometimes when I'm like feeling sentimental.
Good looking guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's adorable, right? And people, I look more like my grandfather, right? Like people, when you look at that, and then that's really the only way that I feel like I look like my mom. I look a lot like my grandmother too, but my mom and I, it's weird. You never meet a mother that looks at their kid and says, yeah, no, we don't look alike. But everyone's like, Shauna, you and Molly look so much alike. And she and I just look at it and we're like, we don't see it. Like, I look more like my dad.
I get the same thing with my dad. I didn't used to see it. I'm starting to see it more the older I get. But, like, P.S., you definitely do look like your mom as well.
Yeah, but that's...
It's like the shape of your face. Like,
yeah.
The,
see, I have
the
my
features
dad's,
might not.
I have my
but
dad's
like the shape. And
shape.
The way that your hair, like, falls on your
oh,
head.
Oh, it's because we
stuff like that.
Side part. Yes. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin my secret. So, like, don't look, no, whatever you do. So sometimes when I'm feeling sentimental, I go through the internet and I go looking for used copies of his books just to hoard them because I don't know, you know, there's some versions that are still in print, but some of them are really hard to find. They're rarefied. I love to buy library book copies because they come in like a nice seal.
Yep.
They're preserved. And I always look for signed ones. So I just had dinner with my accountant who was in town from Boston and I'm at the bar and I had a martini and this was like the night that things got really weird for me and I bought $40 worth of carrots at Ralph's. So the night went like this. I get to Sherman Oaks at 7. I have a vodka martini while I'm talking to my guy. I go outside to smoke a cigarette and they have taken the remainder of my vodka martini and my dinner. They just took it. And I told the bartender, dude, I'm going to be right back. Like I'm just waiting for my accountant to get his Uber.
Pretty rude.
So they come bring me another vodka martini and they bring me another dinner and I'm eating that dinner. And my accountant was basically like, you're not broke. Cause like, I'm always like, why do you want to meet with me? Like, what do we have to talk about? And like, literally, he's just like, wants to tell me his wife is pregnant. Like, he literally was just trying to be a person with me because we're going to know each other our whole lives. So, I'm having the second martini and it hits weird and everything has been off for me this entire eclipse season. August, I've noticed Leo is in my house of mental wellness and it basically is the thing that Leos and August make me crazy. And now that I realize that, it makes sense. I've been depressed every August my entire life and I've never known why. I'm always like so happy to see the summer go. And I used to think it was because I love school. Because I did love school, even though I was really bad at it. I just love to learn, but I was just bad at school. So anyway, I'm like, I'm going to buy some of my grandpa's books. I'm going to just like invest, meaning just buy these books. So I bought all these books and I find a rare autograph copy and I'm like, oh my God. Right. And I buy it. And then I go to Ralph's, I buy $40 worth of carrots. I leave my wallet in a Lyft, blah, blah, blah. It's a long story. Wallet came back to me. The universe doesn't hate me as much as I think. So these packages have been coming all week and I order probably like 15 of the books. Right. And I do like to give them away to some like a very special person. Like if it's a very special thing, like I'll give them a copy if I think they would appreciate it. So some of them I'm prepared to let go of eventually. But one flat envelope showed up and I was like, this is so weird. I was like, I wonder if I didn't buy an autographed copy of the book. What if I just bought like an autographed cover or something? So I opened the envelope. And my grandfather, for everyone out there, my grandfather's name is John McAleer, McAleer, right? This is what was inside the envelope, if you want to describe this to the audience.
I am holding in my hand what looks to either be a scan of the front of a Rolling Stone cover from February 4th, 2010, with a shirtless John Mayer. adorning the cover here. The subline says, John Mayer, dirty mind, lonely heart. And it is autographed by the man himself.
Yeah. So that's going to go in the Please Advise Hall of Fame just simply because of my idiocy. And I don't know what else to do with it. But I was also thinking to myself, someone like Duncan would know, like, can I get a pretty penny for this? Or should I just frame it and put it next to my bed?
I mean, I think that's an eBay question, but yeah. It's a little bit too weird to let go of,
is
I think.
This, yeah. Is this from the interview where he said his penis was racist?
That was actually, I wish. It was that's Playboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he decided to be like a big dick player over at Playboy and like start talking about like, you know, what he likes to fuck. Yeah. So also, Duncan, here's something else you might be interested in. Our next guest, Jennifer Nice, who you might remember from back in the day, she is we're going to probably talk about this more in the next episode, but I'm about to be a YouTube star again.
Okay.
I'm going to reignite my YouTube stardom.
Copy that.
And you might notice I have a pink box right here on my desk. Speaking of being bad at spending money, right behind Anna Nicole. And it's Kylie's birthday set. So Kylie Jenner has been doing a lot of great things. She's putting a lot of good out there right now. And she works very hard. And every August I love a lip kit. I'm not going to lie. They're fucking fantastic products. She's done a great job. And what I also love with the lip kit, which I should probably stop doing because germs, is I love bringing out my lip kit at the gay bar. If you ask a guy, if you're like, see a guy who's kind of drunk in the corner, you say like, hey, you want a Kylie lip kit? They're like, fuck yeah. And I like, I have sat at a gay bar putting in Kylie lip kits on just like a line of men. So, it's good for making friends. It's good for all sorts of stuff. So I do like her. I enjoy her products. I bought the eyeshadow palettes, which is uncharacteristic because I'm not a big eyeshadow person. But then I realized I'm really just not a big eyeshadow removal person. Maybe I just need to get back into the game of wearing eyeshadow. So then this birthday kit comes around. I've always said to myself, I'm not going to ever buy any of her kits because a lot of the upcharge is because it comes in like this pretty bag. It comes in like the – and I, the last thing I need is a makeup bag. I have this great subscription box service, Ipsy, which Christina, that's a reminder. We got to try and get them to sponsor us. Every month, the main reason why to join Ipsy is you get – a makeup bag. Your stuff comes in a makeup bag. And so you get a new one every month and they're all really cute. So far I've gotten like, you know that new Hello Kitty sad egg?
Yes.
I got one that had him on it.
He's a superstar, by
yeah.
the way.
Oh, I mean, he's just, he's a king. Yeah. Anyway, I got this and I'm going to do, I figured basically I spent $175 on this when I was either stoned or drunk. And the only way I can justify this to myself is if I do an unboxing video.
You got to.
So I'm going to do an unboxing video so I can write this off on my taxes. And I'm bringing in a professional unboxer to teach me the tricks of the trade so that it can be a verifiably write-offable video.
It's like the whole unboxing phenomenon is kind of insane.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, produced like 16 3-minute animated episodes for a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And it was for somebody called EvanTube HD,
uh-huh.
who is at this point, I think, like a 9-year-old boy, but he's been unboxing toys since he was 6.
Oh my God.
He's a millionaire. And his sister is now like a part of the unboxing empire. And every toy corporation in America sends them their coolest shit, and he just fucking opens it and plays
wow.
with it, and they get like 2 million views at a minimum.
So this is very exciting for me now, because at first what just started out as like a passion, so then I had, you know, said on my Instagram that I'm going to have to do this unboxing video now. Then my friend Molly Tarlov, who was on the show Awkward, you probably know her from other things, she asked me if she could be in on the unboxing video as well, because Jennifer Nice offered to shoot it. And I'm thinking to myself, Molly, don't just be yourself and be like, yeah, more the merrier. I'm like, think about the business angle. So I was like, well, I'm doing this with Jennifer Nice. If you want to unbox the one that you ordered, I'll do this one solo or I'll do it with you. But we have to do a series together. And so I put together a list of like 15 different things we can unbox together. Like everything from like going to picking up each other's dry cleaning and like judging what we've done for dry cleaning. So it's going to hopefully be a series. Now, you guys out there in Please Advise Nation, if this doesn't happen, it's at you to tweet at Molly Tarlov, former Please Advise guest, and say, girl, where are these unboxing videos? It's not going to be your fault. It'll be my fault.
One thing I think you have to remember when you're doing it is to not overlook the ASMR element of like carefully, like exactly.
And smacking like your lips a lot.
The crisp sound of like the cardboard as it's opening, that kind of stuff people really care about.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, we've ASMR heads in Please Advise Nation, and also Stephen Ray Morris is one. Andrea Siegel is one. Yeah, I have a lot of AMSR peeps in my life that just like to hear lotion get applied and shit like that. It soothes them. Like Stephen Ray Morris falls asleep to like videos of this one guy who's like, I guess he like talks about a video game, but there's something in his speech that's very ASMR-ish and he like loves it.
I have one ASMR video that gets me every time.
Which one is it?
It's a doctor in North Carolina in 1998 giving a former football player like a very gentle, careful reflex test.
Oh, I thought you were going to say massage.
No, but so the room is like mostly silent. The air conditioner's on a little bit, so you have that in the background.
Yeah.
And then you can just like hear their breathing as he's like slowly like taking his, I don't know, vitals, all that kind of stuff. There's just something very like soothing. His bedside manner is very good.
You like that.
Yeah, there's something about it that just seems nice.
I think it's pleasant. I need to like maybe go in deep on the ASMR hole to like fully understand it, like, because I don't get it.
Here's another thing too, is I forgot, did you remember, so we had on Lewis's episode that woman called about Trader Joe's and said that her boss is judging her because she's fat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I forgot to acknowledge something she said in her car, which I have, which is, and she has it as well, which is misophonia. And I don't know if you know what that is, but basically it's the dead fucking opposite of ASMR. So I also call it my Kelly Ripa noise disease, because what Kelly Ripa has it as well. And if anyone out there has this, I hope this is the aha moment for you that it was for me, because this is something I've suffered with my entire life, which is that certain noises, main one being people chewing their fingernails, but any sort of bone on bone. Like I can do my fingers like this myself. It doesn't bother me. But if I hear someone else picking.
What about like if you hear somebody actually using a nail file? Is that
that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
But it makes it hard to like live with someone. It makes it hard to just because there'll be certain things that I'm just like, can you fucking stop? Like, and the problem with misophonia is that it's not just that it bothers you, it that it immediately takes you to a place of deep irrational anger.
Gotcha.
And so I first found out about it because 2020 did a special on like what is going on with these college students. Like they suffer from a rare disease and it'd be like people in a computer lab, but like the sound of clicking keys is so painful for them that they would stand up and like flip the fucking desk over and like, you know, or like just like start screaming.
Right.
And like I was like, oh my, that's what I have. And like it's so hard because you'll be sometimes with someone and you just have to say to them, and they're doing something that's so like natural for them and maybe not even they're paying attention. And you have to say like, I'm really sorry. Like, but can you, I need you to stop that. Like it's hurting me. Like I do it to Christina. Christina's a fidgeter. I do it to her all the time.
Gum chewing. Is that a big no-no?
But the way my mom chews gum. Yeah. But like the way my mother chews gum, I'm like, how did you like, how like, because like, cause she's so well mannered normally, and like, so she raised me to be well mannered. She raised me to be like considerate about certain things like that. And she's just like a chomper. And she like, and I'm like, how is the same woman who would like fucking make me sit at the kitchen table and write thank you notes, and if my penmanship wasn't perfect, sit down and write another one over again on Crane stationery, just tossing Crane stationery out because I didn't cross my T's right. How is this same woman who did that to me also chomping on her gum like a goddamn horse? Like, what's up with that?
Everybody has their blind spots. So,
she yells into the phone, too. Like, for the first time in her entire life the other day, she showed sensitivity to the fact that she thinks that because I'm in California and she's in Massachusetts, it'll get her – I'll be able to hear her better if she yells into the phone. Drives me absolutely nuts.
My mom does that too.
And I'm like, stop. And then the other day she yelled into the phone and she was like, I'm sorry if I'm yelling into the phone. I'm like, are you dating someone new who pointed out to you that you're like, I was like, what is going on? That like you now have an awareness of the fact that your worst habit exists. Like years I've been telling her, she's like, I don't do that. Anyway, Duncan, I asked you to bring three reasons why you're qualified to give advice. I would love for you to read those. And while you do that, I'm going to go over to my desk and get a Q-tip because one of my ears is popped. Okay?
Copy that, Molly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, I tried to be, like, taking an honest emotional inventory before approaching the questions. And I think I landed on three.
Okay.
That I feel confident in.
And he has it written out on a legal pad, and your penmanship is very good. I was telling you beforehand.
Well, thank you.
You're
Christina.
The kind of guy that writes all caps.
I love that.
I write all caps. Yeah,
my
you know what?
I'm
an all caps guy. I used to not do it, and I just hated how like soft the letters looked. I need something a little bit more like with more authority, I think.
You're like a comic book writer.
Number one.
So first reason, I'm on good terms with all of my exes, which I think is indicative of my ability to navigate emotionally turbulent waters with empathy and perspective.
Oh,
that's great.
Reason number two, I am regularly asked to look after friends' houses, plants, and pets when they're out of town. So
me too.
I think that, you know.
Trustworthy.
Yeah, exactly. And number three, I was once entrusted with the task of safely escorting Robert Pattinson around Los Angeles for 3 days while he was getting fitted for Invisalign braces prior to making the first Twilight film.
Is that for fucking real?
Yeah, that's for real. I worked on the first Twilight movie as a PA in 2008. So if I'm good enough for Cedric Diggory, I'm sure we can figure
out. How did you swing that gig?
It was like my roommate at the time was working on the movie up in Portland, and they needed somebody to like deliver daily DVDs to the producers in LA.
Yeah.
And at the time I was looking for work. So he's like, Duncan, do you want to do that?
Did we know each other? Yeah.
It was right around the same time. I think we met maybe just after I got done.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the Twilight premiere in Westwood. So I know that like, so yeah, we must have just been like ships in the night sort of at that point.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess I did a good job delivering the dailies to the producers. And at one point the like production manager sends me an email and she's like, hey, Duncan, Rob needs to get fitted for Invisalign braces because the producers think his teeth are too British.
Yeah.
I've
heard he doesn't smell great. That's like his cross to bear and blind items.
I have a pretty bad olfactory sense, so I'm probably not the best judge of that. But
yeah,
he's a very pleasant guy.
Yeah.
No complaints.
I mean, look, the way that I see it is that he probably is just like a young Malls where he's just hitting the grind every day. And like one shower every 3 days is enough. You know?
Yeah.
If he does smell, if rumors are true. But I feel bad, though. Like, you know, every celebrity has a blind item moment. And I hate it when people, like, it's like, don't tell Gossip Cop that Robert Pattinson doesn't shower enough. Tell Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, just send him a text.
But,
you know?
Oh, what do you think of this new anonymous? Sorry, we have to go to the calls in a sec. But what do you think of this new anonymous thing where people can just, like, leave you a thought, good or bad?
Wait, is this, like, a phone thing?
It's a Twitter. It's called, like, Shazam or something. It's like something like... I remember seeing it. I was like, this what is a Shazam? Like, what is this thing? And it's basically like just one of those terrible things where people put up a link saying, like, tell me anything. And it used to like an ask me anything, except people will tell you anything. So some people have been getting things like, I've noticed you've gained like weight in the last year. I want to make sure you're healthy.
Wow.
To I've always fucking hated you. To you know, I've been watching you for years and I'm in love with you. Like, people are getting all the whole range. And the thought of inviting something like that into my life at this point, where I would have totally done something like that back in the day just to have an account. Like, the thought of inviting that into my life at this point is like, so it's like, it's worse than the nightmare I had last night. No, it's not. It was really bad. But I don't want that in my life.
Yeah, I don't think I need that either. It's, like, the anonymous thing, I think, just fuels, like, people's snarkiest tendencies.
Yeah. And some people hate me very irrationally, some rationally, some very irrationally. A lot of assumptions made. Duncan, what are you hitting again?
This is, like, my smoke replacement therapy tool.
Can I have it?
It's a PAX Jewel, yes. And I find it to be the closest thing to like the feeling of a cigarette.
Yeah.
Without
that air sandwich.
You know, basically I'm just trying to get away from physical combustion in my lungs.
Yeah.
So yeah, this thing is pretty useful. I like it. I'm using it a little bit too much right now because I'm still in like the first week or two.
You're loving it.
But yeah, so far so good.
So here's my question, because I am about to pay primo bucks to quit smoking with a hypnotist. Who has been successful for many people, even former Please Advise guests, who I will not disclose. But it's like $4,000.
Ooh.
It's about $4,000.
But you know what? Like, that's
what
a
do
lot
I spend
cheap-
on cigarettes and
yeah, exactly. And like, it's a lot cheaper than like
cancer
treatment.
Yeah. So and like, who knows where I'll be health insurance wise come the time? Because it's really not an if, it's a when for me. Like, I'm Irish. I'm getting cancer. spoiler alert. So I actually was sent to PAX Jewel when they first started it, but it was so long ago that I think that I lost it along the way. Should I reinvest, do you think?
I would go to the website. It's really easy to get like a starter kit, and then
I know the PR person.
Fantastic. There's also right now a deal going on. I don't know why I'm giving free SponCon right now.
Yeah,
but there's
no,
free
do it.
Shipping before Labor Day.
Oh, so. Fabulous. Well, new year, new look, new page. Does it have nicotine in it, though?
It does, yeah. It's like one cartridge, I think, is the equivalent of essentially a pack of cigarettes.
Okay, cool. Because when they sent me the free one, they sent me like flavored ones. And there was one I thought was interesting, which was a butterscotch. Never seen that before. And it tasted good, but it was creme brulee.
Creme brulee, yeah.
But I was like, if this doesn't have nicotine in it, why am I... You know.
Oh, it does. Like, all the flavors have nicotine in it. It's just some are like sweeter than others.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start taking our calls.
Hey, Miles. Hey, Christina. Hey, guest. I just left a message, and I think I'm going to keep it short this time. I think we're having a little bit of an exchange on Instagram earlier. So it's me, Josh. So, okay, my question was, my little sister is kind of getting married. She told me a couple months ago, actually she told my mother, she didn't tell me, for her own reasons, I guess, that she's getting married to a guy in the army or military. I don't know which branch, I don't really know this guy. And she was asking for, like, my full support, and I was like, I don't know this dude, like, what the hell? It was really weird, and I don't want to be a bitch to my little sister, but I know she's kind of being a little bitch to our other, like, sister, and not to be petty, but, you know, she's kind of putting herself in, like, a situation where, like, she's kind of distracting herself a little from school. She's been, like, in and out of college, and she's just, like, she's a smart girl. Like, she's, like, 2 years younger than me, so we're, like, the oldest two in the family, family of, like South Texas Mexicans. So, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I want to be supportive of her. I don't want to be a bitch come Thanksgiving. But I also don't want her to, like, think that, like, you know. It's weird. Like, we're adults now, and she has her life, and I have mine, and I'm completely supportive. But every time, like, I give her some, like, actual advice, like, brotherly advice, like, you know, just, like, being big brother. Like, she's just like, oh, my God, like, why are you, like, hating me? And I'm like, what? She's like, I really wanted to support. And I was like, what? Like, you're being crazy right now. Shut up. I don't want to say that to my sister, though, even though she fucking deserves it. No, just kidding. Anyway, love the podcast. Love listening to you. I totally laughed last week over Cum Master. Like, congratulations. You're awesome. Thank you. Love the pod. Bye.
Hey, okay, so first of all, his name's Cum Artist. And unless he has an upcoming birthday, he was also in my dream last night. Because I got an invitation to the birthday and I was really happy. Maybe I really did, though. I don't know. Duncan, I have to be honest with you. I'm a little bit confused about what this guy thinks the dilemma is. All he has to do is just be nice to his sister who's getting... I mean, like, he doesn't even have to actively be nice. Like, if the bitch asks you, like, are you happy for me? Just be like, yeah. Like, end of story. Like, you know, if she's not asking you to, like, go down on her or something. Like, she'd literally just be like, yeah, I'm fucking excited you're getting married. Like, it's... who cares? First of all, you guys aren't even that close. So who cares if she's shitting the bed right now, so to speak? Like... it's not like this person, it doesn't sound like she, like, is your favorite person to begin with. Secondly, you guys are family. You also sound pretty young. You and I are going to meet up soon, so I'm going to get to see really how young you are. But I will say that, like, I just, I don't think you have a real problem here. And you do kind of reference your sister living perhaps a bit unconsciously right now to distract from school. Seems like you're living a bit unconsciously to distract from whatever it is. I know that you just moved to LA. Maybe it has to do with that. Maybe it's a job hunt. Maybe it's new friends. I don't know what it is. But this really isn't that big of a deal. It's kind of a non-thing. Did you pick up on anything I didn't?
I mean, I guess my big question is, like, has the family met him? Because if this is coming out of, like, complete left field, nobody's ever met the guy before, nobody's talked to them, I can imagine that, like, people in a family are like, well, who the fuck is this person?
It's very father of the bride.
Yeah. Now, that being said, like, he could be a lovely person. You just have no idea until you actually meet him, you know?
True.
If you meet him and he's a monster, then, like, yeah, like, I can understand being upset at the fact that your little sister is about to marry an asshole. But you really have to reserve judgment until you've met the person face to face, I think.
You know?
It's the bare modicum of, like, restraint that you need to show.
I mean, let's look at the pluses. She's going to have health insurance.
Yep.
Right? You know, there is such a thing as divorce.
Yep.
You know, if there were signs of abuse, I think you would have mentioned that.
Yeah.
I mean, does being married to someone in the military sound ideal to me? No, but that's not, it's not my destiny.
Yeah,
you know?
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
I get a sense that he, like, wanted to intervene in some way and didn't know how. Like, he feels uncomfortable that he doesn't know this dude that's about to marry his sister, and he wants to know, or he thinks it's wrong.
Yeah.
And he wants to know how he should broach it or intervene. But he didn't come out right and say that, so I can't make that assumption.
Also,
that's the vibe that I understood.
It's also like
an older brother.
He was, yeah, but it was a little unclear to me whether, like, he's the only one that feels this way, or whether, like, it does the entire fam feel this way. And by the way, even if that's true, it does not invalidate her love if that's what she has.
Right. I mean, look, if it was Dr. Laura and this man was a stand-up man, especially because he's in the military, Dr. Laura would just drop her panties. She wouldn't even ask, like, if he was a good guy. Dr. Laura would be like, well, then go start your life with your new husband. Fuck your family.
Yeah.
Like, and unfortunately, like, it's, you know, it sounds like the fact that she needs your approval is unfortunate, because it's kind of like a, you know what, if you're getting married, you're a big fucking girl and it doesn't matter.
Right.
But you are her big brother. I figure, you know what, tell her, you know what, until the guy shows me otherwise, I have no reason not to trust him. You love him. I'm happy for you. Also, end of discussion. Stop fucking asking me. It's like the friend that like will not stop asking you if they look fat in something over and over and over again. Right. And it's like, dude, the first 15 times you didn't, but now, yeah, because you've mentioned it so much, maybe you do look fat and I'm just not registering it. Maybe because you've said something so many fucking times, I have a reason to believe that you might be right. Like, the fact that she keeps teeing you up on this, the more she does it, I mean, again, you sound a little bit like a drama queen. No offense, I'm a drama queen myself. But, you know, unless it's unless you are really hearing about this like constantly, just tell her you're happy for it. With the weddings, it always comes back to the same advice. You know, save for the spare, you know, there's spare occasions where it's not the same way. I just think it's your job just to be happy for people. Just congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, get the gift.
Like, give love a chance. You know what I mean? And you also don't want to, like, alienate yourself from your little sister. If she really is in love with this person and he is the partner that she wants to start a life with,
yeah,
don't, like, cut yourself out of her life by being standoffish.
And I will tell you this, too, about you. You seem a little petulant in a brotherly kind of way. And one thing I will tell you about that is that I can tell you already you will miss your sister should she ever go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, because she annoys you this much, you obviously love and care about her. You love her to the extent that you call a podcast to ask about it.
Right.
So just remember, life is short. Things happen all the time. Be happy for your sister. And I'll see you soon. Not on Instagram. We're going to go get a drink. All right, let's take our next call.
Hey, Malls and Christina and guests. I'm calling today to discuss how to stop fucking up at work. I work at a really great job where it's mostly female, which is a first for me. It's a very small group. I'm based in Austin, and I really enjoy working for this organization, but I don't know what is wrong with me. Yesterday, I made this like stupid mistake, and my boss was upset with me, which is understandable. And today I made the exact same mistake, and I don't even know like what I was thinking, like what I had in mind. So I just kind of need help like with not fucking up and focusing and kind of prioritizing. And I don't know, any advice that you could lend to this would be so helpful, because I really do like this job, but it kind of feels like I'm self-sabotaging myself. All right. Thank you. Bye. Oh yeah. I'm in Austin and I'm 25. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, I'm glad you said self-sabotage, that those words were in your mouth, because that is exactly what my mind went to. The other thing that I could think of is, honestly, I know you said you care about this job, but sometimes when you stop caring, and maybe this is a generational difference, I have to say, like, I am kind of shocked at how fucking odd and clueless some of the early 20-somethings I've dealt with in the past, you know, handful of years are. Just really take your time, dude. Like, your job, your boss obviously would rather have something well done than have it rushed. Because whatever mistake it is you're making, whether it be like an input thing on an Excel sheet or whatever it is, it really bothers them when you do this. So take your time, double check your work, you know, put up a little, write a list of your system of operations when you do something. One, enter it into Excel sheet. Two, cross-reference. Like, three, you know, come back to it with fresh eyes an hour later. Like, whatever it is that you need to do in order to streamline this process and make sure you're double-checking your work and being very careful, do that.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out. It's going to seem kind of unrelated, but I think it's incumbent on you, if you have agreed to be an employee for a corporation, that you give them their 8 hours. And when you're there, like, you try to give them the best 8 hours you can. A lot of times that means like making sure you get enough sleep before you go into the office.
Yeah.
Like, eat a good breakfast, exercise. Like, these are all things that will allow you to like focus, pay attention, be present.
Good at your job.
If you're like staying out until 2 on a Tuesday night,
right,
you're probably not going to be like aces Wednesday morning.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I think there's like some self-care things you can do that will just automatically make you a more productive employee.
Yeah.
Because that way it takes the stress out of the situation. What you don't want to be doing is fucking stressing out about that 8 hours after it's over. Because
yeah.
They're only paying you for that 8.
Like, that's a good question. That you're if you find yourself in like pickles where you're like, oh, fuck, I'm hungover and like I have to go to work and do this thing. That is the best. That is the most that's this form of self-sabotage I have engaged in the most, where it's just like, dude, I don't care about this job.
Right.
So I'm going to go out late. And like, if I show up to work hungover tomorrow, big fucking deal. And like, that was mostly in jobs in my early 20s when it was like stuff that I just didn't really like. I just knew I was doing that to get through to the other side till I was had the career I wanted.
For sure.
And it's, you know, it's unfair. You know, when someone hires you, they're going out on a limb for you. When you think about being hired, it's actually quite a sweet gesture. Means someone has faith in you and your ability. And for me, I think about Lindsay Lohan's reality series a lot. Like when Oprah gave her $1 million to just do a reality series and she kept fucking it up, but she wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
Like the guilt of like living with fucking over Oprah would crumble. I would crumble under that.
Yeah. That's a heavy load to bear.
Somehow like Lohan is surviving this time. But I will say, like, look at your bosses, your Oprah. Like she is giving you a job that you've always wanted. Like, do not fuck this person over. Like don't take the person who's giving you a chance when no one else did. She was the one who took the chance on you, and fuck her over.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think there's a difference between having a job that is purely like an economic exchange of labor for money and a job that like you feel motivated and interested in succeeding at. So if it's the latter, like do everything you can to give them the best version of you can while they're paying you to be there.
And she did say, you know, this is an organization she's involved with. I'm not sure if it's a nonprofit. It's organization to me usually like lends to the idea of like a nonprofit.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me too.
And you know, I understand that you say you want this job and that it's a dream job for you, but, you know, or, you know, another thing came to mind too, which is that I wonder if, because I have a hard time with stuff like spreadsheets and like it's like to the point of like embarrassment. So I avoid these situations and jobs, but maybe you have an undiagnosed learning disability. Or, you know, maybe you have it diagnosed, but you're not realizing that. I mean, the ways that dyslexia plays into my life on the day-to-day basis is crazy.
Yeah.
So, and like sometimes I'll catch myself and I'll be like, why? I'm so stupid. Why did I do this? And I'm like, because you've always struggled with this your entire life.
Yeah.
So like, set yourself up for a win. Maybe this isn't the right job for you. Maybe there's something that, if you're dyslexic like me, you have to develop your own system in order to get it done. And just maybe look into that too.
Yeah. And just closing thought, like if you really like the job and like you're just kind of casually fucking up, like one of the two I don't think can be correct. And I guess by that, I mean, like, if you actually do like it and you are just kind of casually fucking up, like get your shit together.
Millennial.
I know that's a really, it's a canned response, but you just have, like, you know, not to fucking speak in platitudes about leaning in and all that bullshit, but like the career path you set up for yourself when you're in your early 20s will dictate like your adult future.
Ownership.
Yeah. Own it.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, like if they can tell you're passionate about it, like I'm sure they're going to be fine if you forgot to fucking staple something or like maybe you forgot to enter something in the shared calendar or whatever. But try to learn from your mistakes. That's
exactly
the only thing you can do as a human being.
At your age right now where you're at, fucking up and losing a job isn't going to kill you. It's not going to kill your resume, but it will kill you if you make a pattern of it. And if you also don't realize, like, to step up and say like, okay, when if I'm at a job and all of a sudden I hit this wall, like I need to exit. I need to responsibly exit this situation and not wait till it plays out into what will ultimately be a worse situation that will be harder for you to bounce back from. I love Austin, though. I hope you're having a fun time there. I wish I was there myself. So we have a very specific currency in the podcast world. You probably hear this on every single podcast you listen to, but go to the iTunes store, leave a 5-star review. Now it's Apple Podcasts, Christina. I literally just saw Christina ready to crawl up my anus. It was out of the peripheral. It was wild. Okay, so I know it's called Apple Podcasts, but, you know, you hear it all the time. Go to the blah, 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 leave a store, whatever thing, you know, leave a review. So the reviews are highly, highly important. Now I'm going to tell you something about Please Advise. We're on the comedy charts. We are never going to be in the top 100. That is so difficult to penetrate. It's insane. We could have the biggest guest in the world on, but there would still be 99 white men above me. So, that said, I need some more reviews for this pod. We have like almost, you know, we're close to 300. So I asked you guys, for a fave. I said, if you please leave 500 reviews, if we reach 500 reviews total by December 31st, 2017, I will do something very special for you in the new year. I don't know what yet, but I'm really encouraging you to get out there, rate this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and leave a nice review. And
we're at 277 right now.
277. So we got one last week. Great. I'm at $10 on my Mug Millionaire Quest, by the way. A lot of progression we're seeing. So we have a review I want to read just so you guys can get an idea of what kind of reviews really, really help us. It's from Molly Soso, and it's titled WWMD, rating 5 stars. In any tough situation, I ask myself, WWMD, what would Malls do? Malls has become the voice of reason inside my head when I'm on the verge of doing something ill-advised. Her positivity and honesty brings me so much joy, as well as some keen insights into the psyches of others. I've become devoted to all of Malls' podcasts, but Please Advise remains my favorite because of her blunt advice, engaging guests, and Christina. I love supporting a fellow Molly in the world. Yay! Most of us are dogs. Most of us Mollies out there are dogs. That was great. Thank you so much. You guys, go to Apple Podcasts. Look us up. There's going to be a tab that says Reviews. Then you click on that, and then it's going to say Leave a Review. And then you just leave a review. I really recommend it. If you want to help out the show, it means as much to us as engaging with our sponsors or anything else, maybe even more. And feel free to remember always that we love being passed on to friends. I love when friends tell other friends to listen to this. Siblings, just help keep the nation alive. All right. Okay, let's go back to our calls.
Hey, Malls, longtime listener, first-time caller. Not sure if you remember this, but I'm the girl that sent you the snaps of the anti-Trump gingerbread house that I made back in December. Anyway, I'm calling because I'm planning a trip with my husband to San Diego and L.A. for the first week in September for our 2-year anniversary, and I wanted to get your input. For the L.A. portion of the trip, we're staying in an Airbnb near Abbott Kinney, and we'll have a rental car. The only thing we have planned so far is the Malibu Wine Safari, but other than that, we're open to whatever. I was wondering if it was worth checking out Catalina Island for a day, or is that not fun? And then also wondering if you could recommend a brunch spot for Saturday, somewhere that would play sports, because my husband is a diehard Penn State fan and can't miss the game. We've been to LA before, so we don't need to do any of the super touristy stuff, but would love to hear your recommendations on fun things to do. And I'm not sure how much you know about San Diego, but if you have recommendations for there, I'd love to hear them as well. So thank you. I love you and all your pods. And Christina, I appreciate you. Bye.
Girl, I don't fucking know. I don't do things like that. Look, I don't, the sports brunch thing is a particularly odd request. But I will say I enjoy a wings restaurant called Big Wang's. I don't know if you would consider that a brunch spot. like, what kind of brunch are you prioritizing here? The good news is that Abbott Kinney is very close to Santa Monica, which is a huge Boston population. People based in Boston, people from Boston that transplanted themselves out here, and people from Boston love their sports. So there are a lot of sportsy type there. I mean, I don't know. Just look at places that show screens. I can't do it all, baby. I can tell you where to go to brunch. I can tell you where to watch a game. I don't know where to do both. Are there places in, I mean, like, is that a common American thing? Like, go watch If I was married to someone who was watching sports while we were eating, I'd fucking murder him in my sleep. So I don't know how to answer that question for you.
I don't think I could date someone that was so into sports that they had to schedule their lives around it.
Not like if we're on vacation, we're going to brunch.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, is it an anniversary trip or is it like, let's watch the fucking Penguins
Pearl
on a Saturday?
Girls, like, getting
let's do the same shit
accident.
We do at home in a different location. To
yeah,
there,
I mean, sure. Like, I would have to say, like, go to, I mean, you deserve to have brunch in a nice brunch place. And it's going to be difficult to find a nice brunch place that has screens. Like, LA restaurants aren't really like that. It's a very ambiance heavy city. So, you know, a television loudly playing sports is known to break up the ambiance in a fine restaurant. I will also say that there's the Black Cat in Silver Lake. I'm having a hard time remembering whether or not they have a TV there.
That's a bar, though. Do they serve
food?
They
have great brunch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There's a brewery in Silver Lake that I know for sure probably does lunch, and they for sure would show sports.
That's maybe, like, the best option, like, because that
but
way...
But you were ass fuck far away from that. Just
yeah.
So you...
yeah. I mean, you're going to have to get on the 10 and sweat.
That said, if you do that... Diablo, which is one of my favorite places, it's on Postmates, and I order tacos from there all the time. They're like main taco that's supposed to be like the closest to a homemade taco is a bison taco with in a hard shell with just a little bit of cheddar cheese and some banana peppers on it. It's one of my favorite fucking things in the world. They cost $3 each. Sometimes I'll just like order four and I eat two for dinner, and then I wake up and eat one for breakfast the next morning and then one for lunch later on. It's like my jam. They have sports there.
I just remembered the name of the place. It's called 33 Taps.
33 Taps. Yeah, that place is like happening, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the best answer you're going to get for the sports brunch question.
Especially from this crowd.
Right. The other one I could think of is maybe the Whaler, and that's on Venice Pier.
Okay.
I don't know if they do brunch, but they definitely show sports things.
And I think what you really want to find, no matter what, is a place that maybe has a television screen, but maybe the volume's not turned on.
Right.
Like, you guys should still be having conversations with each other. We don't need to hear, like, commercials. We just need to, like, see a man take a hockey puck down the ice rink.
I'm so with you on that.
I think it's football.
Oh.
Well, who cares?
Penguins?
Whatever it is. You don't need to watch some fucking man move something while you're having brunch. Your man should be moving you emotionally.
The only thing you should watch a man move is mimosas.
But on the Catalina tip, like, do yourself a favor and get out there. It's actually quite lovely. And if you're like me and enjoy driving a golf cart whenever you get the chance, the entire island is like golf cart roads.
Yeah.
I've never been either.
No, it's really lovely.
Great.
It's really lovely. And it's kind of like the perfect thing for an anniversary trip. So I would say that's definitely where you're going to get some of those like $1 million memories that you can put above the fireplace.
What's that beach where all the rocks are painted? I've always wanted to go there.
I don't know the name of that.
But look up what it's called. Just look for like California. It's like along the coast somewhere. And it's like so beautiful. Like all the rocks are painted. I think Kesha did her rainbow video there actually.
Nice.
And it's really, really beautiful. And I've always wanted to go. And it's like kind of that mixture of California where it's like the art scene meets our nature. And like, that's a really beautiful thing. Since you are going out to Malibu for a day, I would really suggest you stop at one of my favorite places. It's called Neptune's, I think.
Oh, and Neptune's Net.
Yeah, Neptune's Net. And that is one of my favorite places in all of California to eat. I am a seafood snob, being from Massachusetts, so it's difficult for me to find great seafood out here. I'm just wary about ordering it. If you're in Malibu, it's actually, you know, pretty inexpensive for what you get. You can get a great lobster. You can get all sorts of fried food. And it's really, really great.
Fun fact about Neptune's Net, it was featured in the movie Point Break.
Oh, great movie.
And the Fast and the Furious, apparently.
I would look into, speaking of movies, I would look into some of these screenings that are happening around the city right now. It's really hard to get tickets, but you could probably find some on Craigslist. I forget the name of it, but what is that series that they're doing right now where you can watch movies on the roof in downtown LA and in the city?
Oh, there's a bunch of different places that have.
But it's like the one famous one. It's like Brandview or something like that. It's like a name of...
Well, I know there's Cinespia that does the cemetery screenings.
They're wrapping up pretty shortly, though. Yeah, I think they end in September.
Okay. Let me think. I mean, I don't know. The Museum of Ice Cream, is it hard to get tickets to get? Oh, you know what you should go to? my friend Alexis Hyde has opened up a museum and runs it. It's on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's probably really one of the only things that you can enjoy on Hollywood Boulevard if you are above the age of 20. It's called the Museum of Broken Relationships. It's absolutely fantastic. Don't go on a Monday because if you go on a Monday, Musso and Frank's, which is down the street, is closed. So I think it's either Monday or Tuesday they're closed. Look it up. But Musso and Frank's is one of the oldest restaurants in LA. It's a classic. If you go up to Hollywood Boulevard, it would be an unfortunate thing to miss out on that meal. That's a good meal mid-city. Another good steakhouse I love, very old LA, is Taylor's in Koreatown. If you want...
I was going to say, if you're a foodie, you should definitely go to Grand Central Market in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There's a lot. It's going on. They've just completely renovated it, and there's a lot of really great and cool and interesting restaurants in there.
But staying in Abbot Kinney, though, you're not going to be... Like, once you get there and you're feeling it, I think you said you've been to LA before, but once you get to Abbot Kinney, like, there, you're going to be overwhelmed with things to do. There's so much to do there. And, you know, I wouldn't really recommend you checking out our theater scene. I wouldn't really, I mean, maybe go see a show at UCB or something. Look into the calendar, because sometimes there can be, like, a really great show there and you can get tickets for it on the cheap. Mm-hmm. The Hollywood Bowl is kind of, well, in the Hollywood Bowl, what time is she coming?
She said the first week of September, which is when this will air.
So check out shows at the Hollywood Bowl. The Hollywood Bowl is still open that time of year, and it's just like kind of it's a sight to be seen. It really is. Even if you just get, I think they sell dollar tickets actually for the back row when it's a house event, and you can bring for non-leased events, which means that it's a event held by the Hollywood Bowl. Even if you're just going to see like some classical music, you could bring in a basket of cheese and wine and, you know, enjoy a nice little like thing. You can get tickets for anywhere from $1 to $35 for a lot of shows. So,
yeah.
Just look into that. Because the Hollywood Bowl is really one of those things where, anytime you're watching music in sort of a shell, it's like, wow, this is incredible. But then the greatest thing about the Hollywood Bowl is that if you're – the more high ups you are seated, the more you realize you are in the middle of fucking nature, which rarely happens in LA. And it's beautiful views. Watching the sun go down is awesome. Is there anything more on the west side that we should recommend?
It's so funny because I hardly spend any time there anymore. So I don't know. Really know what's going on.
It's a divided city. It's kind of – you're either out there or you're over here.
I mean, things that I always enjoyed doing when I was over there, one thing I would recommend to you if you're into vintage shopping is to go to some of the Goodwills in Beverly Hills and in the Venice area, because it's where there is a lot of money. Santa Monica as well, there is a lot of money, and so people donate very expensive clothes, and they're just the best places to go picking. If your husband is the kind of guy who watches sports at brunch, I can't imagine he's going to want to watch you vintage shop, so maybe that's a kind of go off and do your own thing time. But there are plenty sports bars where you guys are staying, so you know, I also recommend to, even as a couple, spend a couple hours alone on vacation. There's just something about walking around a city, giving yourselves that break. You know, I remember my ex and I used to travel a lot together, and we'd feel this like need to spend all of our time together. And it's just not necessary. You guys are still going to hang out when you get, like, you guys are going to know each other for a long time. So
yeah.
Go spend a couple hours alone. Yeah.
I've got one recommendation once you guys get down to the San Diego area.
Oh, yeah.
Now, these people have like a pretty long waiting list, but if you go on their website and put your name in now, if there is a cancellation, they might be able to make room for you. It's called Nurtured by Nature, and it is an animal sanctuary / like animal therapy place. And what I mean by that is their primary mission is to provide animal encounters for children that basically are either terminally ill or have like issues they need to work through just with like getting over fears of certain things.
Yeah.
But they are they're in the, let's see, Valley Center, California, which is like within 30 minutes from San Diego. Their programs, this is directly from their website, provide a once in a lifetime experience of animal encounters. Guests get to touch and feed two-toed sloths, an African crested porcupine, several different kinds of armadillos, a kangaroo, and If there's room and weather is permitting, you can interact with their Asian small clawed otters in a pool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say too, don't nix that because you're doing the Malibu Wine Safari, because yes, while you are in a safari, it's not, you're not going to have that experience. So if you are an animal person, definitely go check that out. I've never done the Malibu Wine Safari. I was asked on a date by it, but I was like that for a date to go. And I was just like, that is the most intense first date I have ever heard. Like, I'm not going to get stuck out in Malibu with you, you fucking freak. I said I'd go to dinner. Let's not push it.
I did it. It was fun.
On a date?
No, oh. With my mom.
Oh, no. It would be fun with, like, a regular friend. Yeah, but, yeah, like, yeah. I'm just like, you know.
With a rando.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. No, that's a lot for a first date.
Take it to the limit, you know? Anyway.
Why don't you just go fucking skydiving at
that point? Seriously. Jesus. I'm like, why want to go get matching tattoos? I mean, it's too much.
I bought tickets to Italy for the weekend.
Right? I mean, no, that I wouldn't mind. I am down for that perks-based relationship, which I realize I said it on Lewis Peitzman's episode. If your relationship doesn't have perks, like, what's the point of being in one? I realize now how shallow that sounded, but I don't take it back because I am a woman who likes nice things, saves for nice things, and deserves nice things. And that is not just a physical – I mean, I would rather have experiences, you know? So I'm sorry. I am going to need – if I'm going to have – at this point in my life, if I'm going to give my life over to some man, I'm going to be needing to go to Japan. I'm going to needing to go to Amalfi. I'd like to do some more tourism in – I'd like to do Spain. These are just for notes for people who want to date me out there. These are places I'd like to go on vacation. There are certain places in America I haven't traveled to that I would be interested in. I'd like to spend some time in Canada. Anyway, hope you guys have fun. You know, definitely it sounds like if you know about Malibu wines, like, you're probably the kind of person who would want to do, like, the Museum of Ice Cream and shit like that. So if you can get tickets for that stuff, go for it. But definitely Museum of Broken Relationships is one to check out. May not be – it's either the perfect place to go celebrate an anniversary or the worst place. I can't decide. But it's really, really interesting. All right. Do we have another call? That's it for this episode. Aww. 141. Dunkel, do you have a piece of free advice for our audience today? Wait, before that, where can people find you online?
My Twitter handle is at Duncan Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I am sometimes confused for a famous British soccer player with the same name.
Happens.
That is not me. Yeah, so come there for one tweet every 6 weeks. And and other than that, I guess the only other plug I have right now is if you enjoy looking at cool shit, check out John Legend's International Tour, Darkness and Light, because I just produced 1.2 hours of original visuals for that.
And he hired, can you say he hired?
Wait.
Lemonade.
Oh, well, we hired the editor for some of the videos who edited some of Lemonade.
Yeah, Lemonade. Yeah.
We went all in. We were like trying to make it sexy, smooth, and visually stimulating.
They're friends too, right? Beyonce and Jay-Z and John Legend.
Yeah, they're in the upper echelon.
They're
of
in
like
that circle.
Cool Kid Club.
So you guys, Duncan, we haven't done this in a really long time, but I asked Duncan because I know he would have something. Oh, by the way, also, you guys, look for Duncan on the road. You have to paint that van. You know you have to do something fun with that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do something along those lines. I think I also might be starting a tiny letter that I'll like be sending updates out once a week, that I'll have pictures, stories, interactions with like other weirdos on the road. You know,
we will definitely be tweeting that out to you guys if Duncan starts that. So look for it. So we haven't done free advice in a long time. For those of you who are new to the podcast and haven't heard back episodes, basically I feel that sometimes we don't get to get to some of the best advice a person has to give. So there's this opportunity where we ask people to take the piece of advice that they want to impart on the people of the world, that they want to leave them with today. Duncan, what is your piece of free advice?
Well, I actually have three, and feel free to edit out whichever one doesn't work. They have kind of differing levels of seriousness and severity. The first one is, guys, it never hurts to have a pack of chewing gum on you.
That's true.
Preferably a brand that uses xylitol as the artificial sweetening agent, because that's actually healthy for your teeth and it doesn't taste like saccharine bullshit.
Do you have brands like off the top of your head?
I'm a Trident guy. I mean, I just always have
been.
Same,
I know, agreed.
I know there's like bigger advances in chewing gum technology since then, but I'm just a nostalgic son of a bitch. What can I say?
What's your flav?
I always go either peppermint or wintergreen. I just keep it real simple.
Yeah.
And usually people will take one or the other. But whether or not somebody wants a piece, I find that they always appreciate the offer. And,
yeah,
you know, sometimes it can be the perfect icebreaker, both literally and figuratively.
Love that. Icebreaker, sponsor the show. Next piece.
Next one is never assume that a corporation has your best interests in mind.
Oof.
Whether you're an employee, a subcontractor, or a customer, know that their primary motivation is the accumulation of wealth, and sometimes that can be at your expense. The only protected position in capitalism is that of the shareholder, so unless you own a controlling interest in a company, know that they'll usually choose profit over people when given the chance, aka know your self-worth, guys.
And also, that includes doctors, you guys.
Yep.
I lived a lot of my life thinking that if a doctor told me to do something, it was because their best interest was my health. I forgot that it was a money-making industry, and I know that we hear all this, like, big pharma, blah, 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 but in all of this gets lost the main nugget, which is that you cannot necessarily rely on a medical professional to have your best interest in mind. It's the way that, you know, when I grew up, we were raised to believe all policemen had our best interest in mind. They were the friendly community leaders that were supposed to take us to the other side, you know, if we were in a time of danger. We see now that is not true.
Well, I grew up with a healthy sense of that, both because I have family members in the NYPD, and also because just
right.
personal experience.
Sure. Okay.
And third piece of advice, a little bit of levity for everybody. Just because it looks like cocaine does not mean it's cocaine. Millennials are a disenfranchised, economically savage generation looking to get their kicks however they can. So buyer beware, sometimes that polite white line on the table is actually a monster rail of ketamine that will send you down a terrifying tunnel of disassociation and severely stunted motor functionality. I guess what I'm saying is it never hurts to ask.
Yes, and it also never hurts to not trust a person, because they will lie to you.
Yeah.
Yo, what was the other thing I was going to say on that? Oh, be real careful about drugs, you guys. I don't know why they're doing this, but for some reason, heroin dealers are mixing a lot of, and I've never done anything on that level, but heroin dealers are mixing fentanyl, which is an incredibly powerful painkiller, with their heroin. And I don't know what the benefit of that would be, because heroin is a cheap street drug and painkillers are expensive.
Dude, fentanyl killed Prince. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, fentanyl is no joke. I've only met the devil once in my life, and I'm not a very religious person, but I was sitting in a bar in Tacoma, Washington, and a random person sat down next to me. We started talking, shooting the shit, just your average bar pitter patter. And then he drops the fact that he only needs $500 to rent a motel room where he can then manufacture illicit fentanyl, which we can cut into baby powder and sell as heroin, and we'll make $10,000 in a week. At which point I politely closed my tab and got out of the bar. Yeah, fentanyl is really bad. It's scary. It's killing people. Like, just don't do it.
How is that cheaper than heroin? Oh, you make a synthetic fentanyl.
Well, it's apparently more powerful by, like, extreme orders of magnitude. So, for instance, like, one dot of fentanyl the size of your cuticle is, like, enough to potentially kill you.
Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot of extra.
Anyway, not to bring it down on that level.
No.
Just take care of yourself, guys.
Yeah, please advise Nation. Watch it back. 323-450-7408. Remember, we've always got your back. Call us and leave your questions. We need questions to make this show happen. It's very important. You can also email your letters and your voice notes that you just record on your phone, real simple. You can even do it on your computer, whatever recording device you have. Then you just hit send and you email it to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Those are the calls that have the best sound quality. So if you are not someone who's down, maybe you're out of minutes, but you still got some data, go ahead, email us that call.
Go wild.
Duncan, thank you so much for being here. I love seeing you and I just adore you. And I'm so glad that I've been running into you a lot over the last year. We got to just start hanging out once you're back.
100%, Molly. Thank you for having me on the show.
Love
and,
you.
Please advise Nation. It was a pleasure. I hope I steered you in the right direction.
I you definitely did. And I'm going to make a lovely little collage of us over the years to post with this episode. So
fantastic.
I'm excited. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm Molly. Christina is our producer. She's the best too. Christina Lopez. You guys, we're doing the Work It Festival on October 5th. If you want to come out for that, that would be greatly appreciated. It's a women's podcasting festival. This is a male dominated industry. Very few women are making waves in this community the way that they should, but more and more are. This is basically a festival that we have been invited to attend and speak at about how Christina and I have managed to make it work as friends and business partners in this endeavor. So please come out if you want, if you're interested in that. Stop asking us, how do I start a podcast? Just come to Work It. You'll learn about it all weekend long from every angle you can imagine. All right, guys, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.